Poetry is emotion. Poetry is he-motion. Poetry is her-motion. Poetry is hurt-motion. Poetry is heart-motion. Poetry as a notion.
Hello, everybody. I'm Stephen Pitters, and welcome to the Spokane Open Poetry Program here at KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM. Folks, you know who you are. You know who I am. So you know it is time for you to reset and enjoy some poetry, prose, and at times music here at KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM. This is Thin Air Community Radio, and we are on the stream at www.kyrs.org, where the young, the old, and the in-between gather to share their thoughts, feelings, and emotions. With me today are three unique individuals, and we're going to talk, read a little bit of poetry, and talk about many other facets of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And in the studio is Ellen Welker, and Rebecca Chadwell, and Jesse Swanson. Folks, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having us.
All righty. And as you know, the mission of the Spokane Open Poetry Program is to make available to poets and others the opportunity to share their literary works and musical skills. And, folks, it is time for the thank you minute. Is there anyone out there that y'all would like to give a shout out to?
Well, I think it's been kind of a long gray weather, not particularly dramatic. And so my thanks goes out to all of the wonderful musicians in our community that keep us entertained and full of wonder during the winter months.
All right. That having been said, Ellen, how about you?
I want to thank the sun for coming out today. Okay. I'll just follow up on that.
Okay. Jesse?
I'd like to thank everyone in the studio today and everybody out there listening.
All right, now I'll give a quick shout out to my friends in California, New York, and Connecticut. It's a whole lot of, it's not that many people, it's one in each place, but I figure I just talk it out like that. All right, so before we get into the program, I'm going to read a poem and then come back and have you sit back and enjoy what these wonderful individuals have to say. This piece is something I've started working on. It's called Seeking Reverse. Shall we be forgiven for the deeds our thoughts corrupted, resulting from the chance that hugged us throughout the night? My bones slept in reverse. I chose this dismay. I withered and succumbed to the pile and was placed on a bundle like fallen chaff. The prospect in a world lacking mercy, a corpse seasoned, free of its skin and bones. I saw her stuttering eyes watering in form, a ruckus infant tottering towards an eventual future. The perceived sumptuous ordination rather than the wicked stampede whose mire cruelly halted her heels while she inhaled stinky ooze. The forbidding had anticipated the tremulous dance at the edge of the grave. Frankenstein had turned to Mary Shelley for his inspiration, though he was no poet, just an inwardly disfigured parasite in the realm of the unconscious, the objectionable. We travel blindly under nightmare's spell, molting and remodeled, the flesh stripped from its clay. The quest was to defeat the nightfall hovering at the cost of death's umbrella. We living in a convoluted spirit will for zest wager the balance in our life for a tidal bout with the smell of an uncertain afterlight. Our minds in this delirium, if spiked, alter the course of natural philosophy and will lay waste the unscrupulous composite, disowning from within its basic dialectic,
in order to reframe the value of life savagely altered after death's merciful gain. If you're just tuning in, this is the Spokane Home Poetry Program here at KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM. Now, folks, sit back and listen to our good friends here with us. And starting with Ellen, who will talk about the pink tablets. Ellen, you've got it.
Okay. Well, thanks for having us, Stephen. Get a little bit closer. Okay. Thanks for having us, Stephen. It was about 2 or 3 weeks ago now that we had two performances over at Community Minded Television Studios. And this is really the first time that I've gotten to see Rebecca and Jesse since then. I know everybody's just been super busy, and we also probably needed to crawl back into our own holes and do our own thing for a little while. So it's fun to see you guys, and I still just have so many great feelings about that weekend and what it meant to me personally to be able to write some poems and have them kind of live their life in this way.
Mm-hmm.
So when I first, back in August, when Rebecca and I met to have coffee, she was someone that I didn't know very well and just admired her work in the community. And I had been told that she might be interested, or someone that I could talk to about taking some poems and putting them on a stage. And I was thinking pretty small, like maybe a couple of actors performing or reading these poems on a stage. And the more we talked, the more it just kind of grew and rolled like a big snowball, gathering speed and momentum and energy. And so the performance itself was just beyond anything I could have imagined or hoped for.
Mm-hmm.
And it was super cool. It was really fun to work with these guys. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I was there, and you know, I was like, "Whoa, this is Reader's Theater. We have a choir, and we have a little modern dance on the side." And I'm like, "Whoa, yes!" Whoa. I mean, I just like, this is incredible. I was like, just so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but you know, how did you go about selecting the actors and, you know, coming up with the modern dance piece on the floor over there, you know? And, you know,
I think one way to approach production is to have an idea of what you would like or what the production team would like, and then go about creating that. And I think a process that is equal in effect but probably lesser known is just allowing the process mm-hmm. itself to dictate what it will become. And so rather than having the executive volition lie within a group of people that say this is what we're doing, which eventually happens anyway,
mm-hmm.
it's really wonderful to have the ideas themselves sort of speak to you and dictate to you what they will become. And so your job then becomes allowing rather than sort of impressing your will upon mm-hmm. something.
Yeah. You're the facilitator.
I think you really have to have an ability to listen beyond listening, which sounds a little odd, but what is this poem trying to be, or how can you keep the integrity of this and mm-hmm. the energy and essence behind it from just becoming information?
Mm-hmm.
I think that we're kind of overloaded with information. So how best can we create presence?
Okay, all right.
Yeah, that was fun.
All right, and Jesse, you know, what? How did you flow into this?
I guess I helped with the physical side of it, so the art department of stage, backdrop, and I guess my perspective on it would be I'm more of a visual person other than the words, and so I think what was really cool to see was, and it happens a lot of time where you try to adapt words into something visual,
mm-hmm.
and it just people a lot of times say they loved the book but they hated the movie, and I think that comes in trying to when you read something and you read Ellen's poems are so good and so visual that, but it's very personal. So everybody who reads it, they have a different, they conjure up their own visuals and what they see and what they feel. And so to take a production and visualize her poems, I think the success of what Rebecca did was nothing was too concrete, and so it was still dreamlike, and it was still she didn't interpret anything too much. It was more like the words spoke for themselves, and the art department and the backdrops were there, but they weren't front and center. It was more like the words were the main actors, and everybody else were facilitating the feeling of the work.
Mm-hmm. So that makes you mentioned Ellen's poems. So that's a great segue for us to listen to some of Ellen's poems. Ellen?
Okay. I thought I would read maybe one poem that was in the performance.
Just one?
Well, I could read more if you want me to read more, but I got a lot of poems here.
And well. Now these poems just came out in a book.
Yeah, they did.
Okay.
They just came out in a book. The book is called The Pink Tablet, and mm-hmm. It's a handmade book from reclaimed materials. So all of the papers, the thread that she uses to bind the book, she carved each of the covers, so they have like little fangs and in kind of a forest. Mm-hmm. And then the book is kind of an accordion style book, so it opens up and has this three-dimensional presence. Mm-hmm. It's a cool object.
Where can we get the book?
Facsimile Editions is the publisher. They're a little small press out of Philadelphia. And if you go to facsimilebooks.org, I hope that's right, I'll double check. Mm-hmm. They have them for sale there.
Okay, yeah. So we know where to get it. And now we're going to listen to some of the pieces from it.
So this is a poem that Zoe McCall Smith read, performed on the stage. And it comes kind of in the middle of the performance and also in the middle of the book. They were all very much little iterations of one another, yet when they died and were incinerated, each of the diamonds they became was a different color. Of the blue one, the others invariably said, just the blue of her eyes. Of the black one, why, they cried. Of the green one, she always did want what was mine, and never did they say, wild thing, oh, you wild, wild thing, coiled like spring, your thing heart a beat beating, all sinew and pulse and impulse, wild thing, I did, I do, I. This was their boiled down view, and no one could shake it, or even tried.
Oof. My. Whew, Lord. Mm-mm-mm-mm. And what was the inspiration for this piece?
Let's see. These poems kind of came to me all of a piece in a way that doesn't necessarily happen to me very often as an artist. I kind of like felt like I tapped a vein and then had like just sort of this rush of poems come over a period of weeks or months. And what I was thinking about was fairy tales and how to, like, what a modern fairy tale would look like, what kinds of things would children face in today's fairy tale. I mean, the framework is still the same. You have children who are faced with dangerous, perilous situations or unclear situations. The adults in their life are not helpful to them, or maybe even actively working against them. And the children have to find a way to survive using their own wits, basically. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of been true for fairy tales. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true in here as well. So that's what I was thinking about, is just the kinds of things that that kids today are facing.
Weren't we talking about kids before we came on the air?
We're kids today.
Yeah. So tell me, okay, now, I've had you on the show, Rebecca, mm-hmm. was about a year and a half, 2 years
mm-hmm,
ago?
It seems about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How quickly the time passes. And, you know, being the poet you are as well, you know, I mean, I'd like to hear, did you bring into some of your works?
I have a little something.
Okay.
I haven't really been not studying, but working with form as much as just writing. And mm-hmm. so a lot of what I have currently ends up being prose or in the form of a letter.
Okay.
So I think I have this, and they tend to be, I moved into town, but before I became a proper town person, I was living out in the mountains.
Mountains are good.
And I do miss it. There's a lot of beauty there, so mm-hmm. we'll see. Yesterday, a swarm or flock or whatever of ladybugs mm-hmm. flew down from the canyon, thousands of them, following the creek through the valley. It lasted a few hours. Then I caught a garter snake wrapped around some peeping thing. Wikipedia says garter snakes are mostly harmless. They didn't ask the mouse. My legs are covered in bruises and scratches, little pieces of forest caught in my hair. I'm supposed to be bringing a side dish or dessert somewhere, supposed to be working on 3 websites, supposed to be kneading pizza dough, supposed to be compiling a list of potential supposed somethings for someone. Supposed to be, supposed to be, supposed to bring a friend a casserole or gluing a pair of shoes back together for my daughter's friends. They say people who want something live longer than people who have it. The half-life of a love ghost lasts forever, so I just wanted to say thank you.
Ooh, beautiful, beautiful. So you mentioned writing a letter. And I'm like, I'd like to get a letter like that. Would you, what about you, Jess? Would you like to get a letter like that?
Yeah, what I've noticed with Rebecca is she's really good at, or what it's really nice for me is she puts out writings like that, and usually with a picture of like just snippets of daily life, and then she'll kind of go into so for me, I like just reading her Facebook posts mm-hmm. where they're not your normal trivial complaint or beef with something. It feels more like an open letter mm-hmm. to just anybody who's going throughout their day uh-huh. and maybe rushing it too much or not putting it into perspective. Mm-hmm. And so for me, her eloquent thoughts like that are more of an open letter to anybody who just needs to take a moment out of their day.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it hits me along the line of like it's a book in the making.
Yeah, I think they're just little, like, I really have a problem with genres of writing being divided. I think that a lot of, you know, fiction is obviously informed by, you know, some pieces of nonfiction. I don't know. I feel like the two don't always have to be separate. And when you make efforts to define something as fiction, nonfiction, poetry, letters, mm-hmm. what is this? I don't always think it matters.
No, it probably doesn't really. Yeah. I mean, you just put them all together. They're coming from you, and you know, you can write, you know, just like what you shared with us and other things, and then just go to an editor or a printer and put it all together, and there it is. You know, put whatever label you want or no label on it, and just said, you know, Rebecca. Boom.
Maybe someday.
I do. Yeah. I mean, but it has.
There's hundreds.
Well, there's so the you know the, I don't want to you know because you just mentioned like a book, the Rebecca.
and just put them in a window all together, and you have the opportunity to just read them at your leisure and get from them wherever you are, whichever piece you're reading.
I did actually have this really one sort of semi-unfortunate event where I had logged into my email from somebody else's computer, and this was some years ago, and they had kept my password. Mm-hmm. And so I go about my correspondence, and it took about a year and a half. I think he felt so badly for doing this. He said, you know, I have to tell you something, and I probably shouldn't, and I feel really badly about this, but, you know, you've been corresponding with someone, and I have to tell you, you know, my thoughts on the whole. He just couldn't, because he got a glimpse into, like, you know, you're not supposed to really glimpse somebody's inner life without invitation.
Yes.
But it was just really bothering him. He had to tell me something, and he said, but, you know, I wish that I could get a letter like that. And so exactly. I'm calling to tell you, I have your password. You need to change it. I can't
take it anymore.
I can't take it anymore.
You know, who knows? Perhaps the person will fall in love with you.
Yeah.
Which is like these movies you see, you know, where
it's
people.
A great plot right there.
Exactly.
We're still friends. It wasn't that big of a deal. I said, I'll send you a letter. Just stay out of my email.
It was like, you used to get it like something in a bottle that people wrote, and they threw it into the water, and someone finds it, and then they keep finding them.
Yes,
and,
yes,
you know,
yes.
Actually, there was a Western where I forgot the title, but this woman lived out there on a farm by herself, and she was lonely or whatever, and she would write her thoughts and put them on a tumbleweed and put it out there, and the hero runs into, you know, and then, you know, he keeps reading them, and now he becomes enamored with this person because she's sharing. He can see how she feels and everything. I mean, you know, you put it out there, and it's, you know, so wonderful. You can't help but be drawn to the person.
It sounds very romantic.
Well,
tumbleweeds and cowboys or something.
Let me step off to the side here and let people know that this is the Spokane Open Poetry Program here at KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM. And to be a guest, all you need to do is call 509-747-3807 or get on the stream at www.kyrs.org. Find the Spokane Open Poetry Program and let me know that you, like my good friends here, would like to be on the show. And that's all it takes. And you too will be asked to come into the studio and share your thoughts, feelings, and emotions. Okay, and do you have another one of those, Rebecca?
Well, yeah, and I do. I also wanted to say that we did film The Pink Tablet. Mm-hmm. There's a few people who couldn't make it, and we'd sold out of space during the performance, and so I'm really looking forward to that presentation. It's not out yet, and we're still kind of in the development phase of editing for that. But one wonderful thing that happened is someone in the audience saw how we were filming and kind of asked me about, well, how will this look on broadcast or film? And so we have some potential offshoots for other performances like this.
Great.
Where
great.
I think people are kind of used to seeing, especially on community TV or public television, here's a filmed version of the performance.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really beautiful when you can create it for cinema so that mm-hmm. you have bits and pieces of film, and sort of like in one instance in the modern dance, we did a media preview, so mm-hmm. we could record her dancing, and mm-hmm. bits of it are in slow motion.
Oh yeah!
And her movements are just—it's so beautifully lit, and her movements have such presence, and they're of her own choreography.
Mm-hmm.
That just to be able to slow down moments and do that was really wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So the film should be out somewhere. I don't want to throw out a date, but yeah. towards the end of spring, we're hoping.
Okay,
yeah.
Super. Something for us to look forward to. So, okay, let's hear another piece of you, and then we'll hear another poem from Ellen, and because we have about 4 minutes left.
let's go back to the seasons. And this is just a thank you note. Summer, thank you for strong shoulders, feet that dodged the maze of yellow jackets on the clover, chicks getting fat on bugs, creekside haircuts, sweet corn and sweet squash and wild primrose blooms. Autumn, thank you for apple cider, jars of mushrooms, plums, sauerkraut, sticks of birch bark and Oregon grapefruit, the way sweet mountain Sicily rolls off the tongue. The gifts of the mountain are endless. But now, here's the snow And I'm thankful for winter and the warmth we create for ourselves, red cheeks and fog breath. It's easier to sleep when the air gets heavy with quiet, waking to sparrows clinging to the bark of fir trees.
Oof. You're in a roll, young lady. You are definitely in a roll. Okay, we're going to turn the last piece of our time over. We have about 2.5 minutes. Okay. I'll give you 3.
Okay.
Go, go.
So this is a piece that's related to the performance and related to the Pink Tablet chatbook that I have, but not in that. In those pieces. It's called The Girls Speak to Each Other Via the Common Tongue. Yes, I am here. Here with my weighted, fraught, no explanation, endless iterations, infinity of slants that all sound like asking. To become feral is to metamorphose with and into sound. How I know what you're doing with your mouth. A slow build to recognizable strings. A sister is a kind of sister for talking gibberish in supermarkets, or to love and miss, to rhino and horse, to hate and grass hate. I never wanted to die like that scrape on my tender under. Never wanted to kill myself, talk gibberish in supermarkets, breastfeed, in sight. Language and trees don't want to be used. I do not crave a fake beef braid, just a board to break with my mind. A little nurse in the eye for sadness.
A little verse in the eye for sadness. Oof,
that's
Lord, ladies,
yeah, hey, yeah.
You are all rocking and rolling today. And it's been my pleasure to have you, three of you, come and visit with me and share your thoughts, feelings, and emotions and some of the goals that you have for your creative talents here on the Spoken Poetry program. So for Rebecca and Ellen and Jesse, I am Stephen Pitters, your host for this edition of the Spoken Poetry program at KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM. And we'll see you again real soon. Folks, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.